Church is actually one of the most amazing things. It's one of the most miraculous things that God has ever done. One of the most miraculous things that God has ever done. There's nothing like the church. Now, we looked at last week. Thank you, Father. There's many things that's on my heart right now. And so I want to be very specific to do it in the order that God wants me to share these things this morning. He was just downloading some things even during worship. Last week we looked at, you know, I asked the question, why do we go to church? And we tried the whiteboard thing, didn't have really good markers. We'll try it again some other time, but we got some great answers. We got some fantastic answers. We go for teaching. We go for community. We go to worship God. That's exactly what we're here. We're here together worshiping God. Do you know that that the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people? God inhabits. He dwells in the praises of his people. You know, it's one thing to have Jesus dwell in you. As a born-again Christian, as part of the family of God, he dwells in you. So we say, well, then what is it? Then why is praise important? Because it's important for him not to just dwell in you, but him to dwell out here as well. You know, as you lift your voice, as we do that together, he actually, all of a sudden, the atmosphere begins to be filled with the presence of God, with who he is. What is on the inside of you begins to be expressed outside of you. You know, we have so many people that when they come into this place for the first time, they're like, wow, as soon as I walk in, I just feel peace. As soon as I walk in, I just feel at rest. What is it about this place? I feel love. It's because of all of you. It's because of the praises of God. We get to come together. We get to worship together. We get to focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords together. It's very, very important. It's part of the reason why we do that. We talked about the importance of relationship. Last week, kind of what I wanted to center in on is that church. So just again, the definition for church is the Bible talks about it in different ways. Sometimes when we say we go to church, we think about we're going to a building. Okay, this building is not the church, okay? And you individually are not the church. See, sometimes people get so I want to help you this morning. Sometimes people get so anti-establishment and anti-organization and anti-tradition that then they're fine staying at home and they'll say, well, I'm the church. No, you are not the church. By yourself. You are part of the church, but collectively and universally and worldwide, the believers make up the church of God. See, your finger doesn't say I'm the body, does it? No, your finger is a part of the body. It's a part of it. So, you're not the church, but then we are together. But then the Bible also talks about the church at Corinth, the church at Laodicea. And so what is he talking about? A community of believers that gather together, you know, sometimes daily, sometimes weekly. And so it's not wrong to say Life of Faith Church. What are we talking about? We're not talking about the organization. We're talking about the community or the family of believers that worship together here and that grow in community. And that's probably the most important thing that we can begin talking about is that we are a family. In Galatians chapter 6, so you know what? Let's look at a couple of foundation scriptures real quick. And praise God. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 first. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, I'll just go ahead and read as they pull it up on the screen. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by what? the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Turn with me over to chapter 1. Thank you, Father. In Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm just going to read this whole thing. So let me get your thinking, you know, kind of energized. Let's wake up a little bit. It's early in the morning, and so let's just start thinking a little bit about some of the amazing promises that are in the Word of God that has been made to the family of God, that has been made to His children. Okay, let's think about this. So I'm going to read some things. As you read through the New Testament, you got to focus on the things that that's over the top. The language of the new covenant. We are under a new covenant. The language of the new covenant is over the top. It's beyond what you can naturally think. God wants to move you from a place of mediocrity and a place of defeat into a place of experiencing life abundantly and enjoying life. I mean, here at Life of Faith Church, we are here to help people find lasting freedom. Somebody say lasting freedom. How about you stop the roller coaster ride, the ups and the downs and the hots and the cold, but you just go from glory to glory, level to level, and you experience more and more and more of God. That is the story. That is our testimony. That is the witness that me and Jennifer can talk about for the last 8.5 years. We got off of the roller coaster ride of religion and Christianity, and we started moving into the goodness of God, the grace of God, the blessing of God, and He has showed us that you can be forever free, lasting freedom through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I will not accept anything less. If the Word of God promises it, if God promises it, then we might as well go for everything that God has provided for each and every one of us. Yeah, but brother, don't you know that, you know, everybody's got to have a little rain in their life? Absolutely. It's called the rain of the blessing of God that just pours out on me and pours out on me. And does somebody want to experience that kind of rain?
Yes.
Come on. I'm about to read some things here that you got to take off limitations. Stop limiting what God wants to do in your life. This is a place. As you come together, this is one of the things the Lord was sharing with me during worship. As we come together, you need each other. We need each other. Otherwise, you stay disconnected from the body. In isolation is the place where influencing spirits, deceiving thoughts, where Satan tries to come in to begin to create more and more separation. And what happens is you'll start making what somebody said to you the last time that you were at church 2 or 3 weeks ago, or what they didn't say to you. Well, they just ignored me. They just walked right on by. I wonder what their problem is. What have I done to offend them? Or whatever it is. Or I will have said something from the pulpit that in teaching that I didn't mean. And what did Pastor Mark mean by that? You know? And so you can, that kind of stuff will grow. It's a seed that'll grow in isolation, and it's there to try to keep you disconnected from the body. And so in that environment, you can at work, you can on the news, you can all over, you can start hearing news and things like that will affect you. I was talking about this some on Wednesday night, so hear me clearly. That will affect you. For instance, what are you hearing more often than not in the news right now? Coronavirus, right? Coronavirus. So now we've made this a worldwide thing. And just the word coronavirus, and when you start hearing about the deaths that have happened, which, you know, have you even reached into the statistics of that to find out it's affected older people, you know, that were already having health problems anyway. And so the statistics and all of that, like, you know, if you were to listen to the news, This is one of the worst things that has ever happened in the history of mankind. Right? And so if you're out there and that's all that you're hearing and hearing and hearing, you know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But let me just kind of back that up and not finish that scripture for a moment. Faith comes by hearing. And depending on what you listen to, is what is going to grow and what you're going to believe. And what you end up listening to and believing is what's going to create your destination or your path or your experience in life. And so, coronavirus. Man, I got some stuff to share with you guys. Listen to me. So you come to a place, you gather here to hear truth. Not to hear what people are seeing in the natural. See, listen to me. This is awesome. When you are born again, okay? You get born, okay. I want to teach my whole thing of forever free right now, but just listen to me right now. I'm going to make this as quick as I can. When you were first born, okay, when you were first born, you were born into the kingdom of darkness. Listen to me. You were born under sin. You were born enslaved to sin. You were born where Satan ruled over you. Okay? And so you are in this place and you could not get out of it. Every person was born enslaved to sin, enslaved to the kingdom of darkness. So what Jesus came to do, first of all, a slave can't set another slave free. So Jesus was a free man. Why? Because he was born of a virgin. He did not come from the offspring of man. He came as the child of God. As a matter of fact, it's so amazing. Science is the most amazing thing. You know, it's actually confirmed what God already declared in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And all the way back at the beginning of Genesis, God talked about the virgin birth. And what science has finally, in the 20th century, come up and figured out is that when conception takes place in the womb of a woman, that system, that conception, that person is a completely separate system, and the blood of the woman never goes into and never crosses the blood of the child, and so that the blood of the child and all of that is its own self-contained system. And so Jesus, the very seed, the very word of God, when conception took place in the womb of Mary, here was this perfect, sinless, spotless man that the Bible calls last Adam. Why? Why is he called last Adam? Because both came to produce a race. Both came to produce offspring. Both of them were created in the image of God. Both of them lived and ruled and reigned on the earth. It's just that the first one allowed sin to come in. That's what Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says. It says that through one man's offense, sin entered into the world and death came as a result of that. And so all of us were enslaved to sin because all of us were born into it, right? Y'all follow me. Here's the deal. Jesus said in John chapter 3, except you be born again. Born of the Spirit, not born naturally, born of the Spirit, you cannot enter or see the kingdom of God. And so here we are in the world, born in the kingdom of darkness, living under the kingdom of darkness, living a natural life, living according to everything that we see, that we hear, that we feel, living how emotionally when things don't go our way. Blaming other people, blaming our job, blaming this, blaming that. And we're living out of this natural place and in this darkness place because that's all we have known. But the moment that we become born again, the Bible says that we are born now, not of corruptible seed, but of what? incorruptible seed, that's the word of God, and we're also born into a different kingdom. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. We're going somewhere this morning, man. This is awesome. And we're going to talk about the importance of church, why church, for sure. But you got to get this. You got to see what this gathering, what this means. Thank you, Father. Look at this. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. He's qualified us. Who qualified you? Did you qualify you? Did you disqualify yourself this week? Well, all of a sudden you weren't quite so confident about that. Okay. If he qualified you, can you disqualify yourself? Why? Because you didn't qualify yourself in to begin with. He qualified us to be what? Partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Now that's talking about the church and the family of God. The saints in the light. Look at verse 13. This is great stuff, man. He has. Somebody say has. Okay, English majors, is that past, present, or future? Again, let's try it again. Is that past, present, or future? He has, that is past tense, he has delivered us, delivered us, past tense, from what? I know this is very basic and very simple, but you know what? We got to go. This is your foundation, child of God. Amen. If listen to me very carefully. If the news that's coming from the world and all this stuff about coronavirus and whatever else is out there, if it's creating fear in your life, then it means to me that you are not established in this truth. I'm encouraging you this morning. It means you're not, because if you truly believe that you have been delivered from the power of darkness, from its authority, from its ability to be involved in your life, if you believe this, if this is true, this is the Bible, right? Is this true? Have you been delivered from the power of darkness? Except coronavirus? Except other sickness? Except flu, except family problems, except emotional and mental problems. Your no keeps getting. See, you have to make a decision. How far are you willing to believe the word in your life? How far does this mean? What does this mean? He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Has he or has he not? Yes. 8.5 years ago, Jennifer and I just decided to take this at face value and just believe the word of God and everything that he has to say. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He has conveyed us. Have you ever seen a conveyor belt? He's conveyed us. It's a moving thing. It's a movement, right? The King James says he's translated us. It's like beam me up, Scotty, right? You've just been beamed from one place to the other. He's conveyed us and moved us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, here's my question. Is there any sickness in the kingdom of God? Is there poverty in the kingdom of God? Is there hard times and difficulty in the kingdom of God? Does Satan have the right to move and to operate in the kingdom of God? You are citizens. The Bible says we have our citizenship with God in the kingdom. And so that means that there all of these things can't affect us. But you'll only say, well, yeah, but I know people that are sick and I know people that are Christians that are having trouble. Listen, you'll only experience the goodness. You'll only experience the kingdom of God to the degree that you believe. The Bible says that we have access into the goodness, the grace of God, everything He's provided to us through faith. And apart from faith, it's just like Christ has been made available for the whole world to deliver them from sin, to deliver them from hell, to deliver them from darkness. But the Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But it says that whosoever would what? Believe. You can't experience salvation and deliverance unless you believe. Now, so what I want to do is I'm going to encourage you this morning with some over-the-top language that may sound too good to be true, but either you have to accept it and embrace it and live out of this truth, or just think, well, maybe that's for somebody else, or well, maybe that's for somebody down the road, or one day I'll get there. If the promises of God are a one day in the future, you'll never get there. I'm gonna say it again. Jennifer and I stopped. Look, I'm telling you, for 20 years of our marriage, we were trying to experience the promises of God. We were believing for the promises of God to happen in our life. Listen, this may be radical for some of you. We were praying, we were believing, we were confessing, we were doing everything that wanted to do to experience. We wanted to experience the life of God. But it was always at some point in the future. There was a few times that I almost got there, I felt like. You could just feel it. We were that close, right? And then something derailed us. I mean, it's like the carrot that you put in front of a horse, right? You can see it. It's almost within grasp. And that was our perspective, and that's the way we lived life. Until we started reading things like this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. I'm not trying to be delivered. I am already delivered. It says He has already given me everything that I need for life and godliness. I'm not trying to get everything that I need for life and godliness. I've already have it. Look at your neighbor and say, you've already got it. You're not trying to get it. Because I was trying to get it my whole life until I discovered I already got it. And once I figured I already got it, then I began to operate and live out of that truth. Well, if God says I'm already delivered, then I'm already delivered. If God says I'm already free, then I'm already free. And I stopped trying to get free and stopped trying to experience victory and just started living out of it. Because, see, the one that's already conquered lives on the inside of me, and greater is He that is inside than he that is outside, praise God. Okay, over the top language. I got to get through this really quick. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at this. He says in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just going to read this because it's over the top language. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. This is you walking this thing out. He may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Guys, it starts with what Jesus, who He is, what He's done. He is forever the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He has defeated Satan. He was manifested to destroy and unloose and break the works of the devil over your life. And He took care of all of that so that you don't have to. I'm just going to say it. Jesus did all the spiritual warfare that you need. There is an unhealthy focus in circles and in different places on spiritual warfare that I've got to bind. I've got to lose. I've got to fight. Why do you got to fight somebody that's already been defeated? Real spiritual warfare is just simply proclaiming what Jesus has already done. It's just demonstrating Satan's defeat. It's not going into a place and having to fight and to wrestle and all this kind of stuff. You know, now what about the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities? What's that talking about? If you will read the whole thing, He's talking about the thoughts and what's happening in you. Because He says you got to put on the helmet of salvation. That's what's going in your head. You got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You got to know that you're righteous, because now Satan can't go into, I'm preaching all kinds of stuff right now. Listen, the devil has no right to go into heaven to accuse you before God anymore. He absolutely got kicked out of heaven the moment that Jesus hung on the cross. Why? Because Jesus took every one of your accusations, every one of your sins, every one of your problems, and Satan can't accuse you. Jesus is the intercessor at the right hand of the Father. He is on your side. And so because of that, what does he try to do? He now tries to accuse God to you and you to you. Because he has been shut out. And what you need to do is just shut him out of your thinking. That's why it says taking, above all, the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? It's just you believing what God has said about you. All these things I'm about to read is about you. Stop seeing the devil around every corner. Start seeing Jesus in every aspect of your life. Praise God. He said he'll work everything out for your good. Everything, 100%, man. I just believe that. So the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Let's go on. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 18. He goes on to say, 18, here it comes. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. So you got to move from knowing stuff here in the natural to knowing what's right about you in the spirit realm, because that's where the power is. That's where the victory is. And until you know it, it'll never be released in your life. So why church? Come here to know what is yours. Come here to know what God has given you. Come here to rise up and be the children of God and a child of God here in the earth. Don't figure it out in isolation. Don't figure it out by yourself. Man, I'll show you some scripture on that in a moment. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Everything about the gospel is about the hope. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Not to the saints, but in you got stuff in you you have no idea. And you need to get together so that what's in you can come out. Some of you say, you don't want what's in me to come out. You're going to learn about what's in your spirit, man, so that what's in you will come out to be a blessing to others. Look at the next verse. Let's go on. Verse 19. And what is, now look, I mean, this is either true or it's not. What is the exceeding, somebody say exceeding.
Exceeding.
You know, that's not a word that we use a whole lot, but it's a word we should use a whole lot. Because this is what describes God's love and God's power and God's blessing to us. Over the top, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who what? Who believe. Of his power toward us who believe. Let's see. Who believe. According to the working of his mighty power. I love this. I preach this all the time, but I'm going to keep preaching it because I want you to keep, I want you to keep your thinking in this area. It is his greatness of his power. It's not about your ability. It's not about what you can do. It's not even about you positioning yourself in a way that God can bless you. It's just simply you moving to a place of believing. And so as you do, for us who believe, it's according to the working of his mighty power. Look at the next verse. What's that measure? What's that measure? Verse 20 begins to tell us what the measure of his power that is available to you, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. I have a feeling that the power of God that went into the dead body of Jesus, that coronavirus could not have even touched it, even if it had tried. And he says that power is available to each and every one of us. Now, how many of you believe that? Okay, all right. 50% of you, that's awesome. Guys, listen to my heart for just a moment, okay? This isn't theology that I'm teaching you. This isn't just doctrine that I'm teaching you. This isn't just scripture that we're reading that just sounds amazing and that's fantastic. What we tend to do is we'll listen. We'll listen to these kinds of things and we'll agree with it here. And I was like, man, I would love for this to happen in my life. I would love to experience this, but somewhere we will not really, we really won't touch it with our thinking because it may sound too good to be true. In other words, we want God to do this, but we never fully embrace this in our heart and begin to live from it. So let me pause here for a second at this scripture and let me talk to you about some things about church. Why church? What's one of the most important things? We're going to come back to this scripture, but I need to share some things with you that is essential for what we're talking about right here. Because how many of you want to move from a place of agreeing with this or saying yes to this and actually experiencing this? Can I see a show of hands? Okay, I'm about to show you, give you some keys that's going to help you move into this place. Okay? Go with me over to Acts chapter 2. We looked at this last week in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Ghost came. Can somebody say Holy Spirit? Holy Ghost, whatever. Either way, it doesn't make any difference to me. But the Spirit of God came and filled them. And I talked about that last month. But then as a result of it, 3,000 people got saved. First message ever preached after Jesus went to heaven, 3,000 people got saved. And then it says this in verse 41, those who gladly received the word, were baptized, and that day there were 3,000 souls, or 3,000 souls were added to them. Verse 42 says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. We learned last week that one of the primary reasons to come to church was for the biscuits. And right there it says, and in breaking of bread, we would say biscuits now. And in prayer. And so here we have four key things of why church. Okay? But I want to go through this in order real quick. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And in, let's bring it back up. And in fellowship. So that's the relationship. I talked about family last week. And in breaking of bread. And that's meals together. That's communion together. And in prayer. We should be praying together, which we do every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock for those that want to come and be a part. It's amazing. So we pray together. But I want to start with number one for a second. Their first and primary reason for gathering together was to grow in the Word of God. Church, if you're watching by live stream, get a hold of this. You need to be a part of a community of believers, of a church that teaches the Word of God. That doesn't give you just one or two scriptures and then gives you a bunch of stories in between and a bunch of things that make you laugh and all of that kind of thing. Like, you know, laughter's great. We love to laugh. We'll do all of that kind of stuff. We'll talk about testimonies. Those things are important. But at the end of the day, the Bible says, desire the sincere milk. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. And the Word of God is the only thing that's going to produce real life and real growth in your life. All of my stories isn't going to produce the growth that you need. Why? Because Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any. In other words, it's a life-giving thing. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And what you need is what comes from God. Jesus is the source. He is the Prince of Life, the Bible. He is the source of life. And what you need is life going into your body, life going into your family, life going into your job, life going into every area of your life. You need life. You don't need entertainment. You don't need amazing music. I love our worship team, but I can tell you every single person that's on this stage isn't here to perform and isn't here for you to look at them. They are here because their heart is to worship God. And it starts at that place. So you don't need all the lights. You don't need smoke. You don't need any of that stuff. That's not going to create growth in your life. Some amazing things that are out there, and different churches do different things, you know, to attract people. We don't do any of this to attract people. We do whatever we do just because it's our expression of our love for God. But at the end of the day, an hour or 2 hours of worship doesn't create growth in your life. Now I'm about to say some things that may get on your toes a little bit. Maybe not yours, but thank you, Jesus. What I'm about to say very graciously, but as your pastor, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:11 that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, all of those things are given by Jesus. It's a gift from Jesus to the church. And one of the reasons that we are given, so why do we come here? Why do you guys listen to me and to the leadership here and all of that? Hebrews tells us that those that God has placed in position as leadership watch over your souls. Do you know I did not want this job? I was fine to let my dad just, you know, he founded this church and pastored for 30 some odd years and did an amazing job, and I was fine just to let him keep on doing it, because I had my own business. I kind of did things behind the scenes, and so this wasn't something that I ever asked for or ever longed for or ever desired. As a matter of fact, when God called me in 2010, I was like, no, thank you. I appreciate your consideration, but you don't want me to pastor. And plus, I have to get my wife's permission, and that's not going to work. No, I'm just kidding. That wasn't true. But then when I told Jennifer, she's like, no, I don't want to be a pastor's wife. Well, that could go bad either way. I mean, I don't know. But God made it so clear. I said yes to it. I did not know that I would move right into and enjoy this as much as I do, and that we'd be able to affect people, and that God was going to do so much in our lives, set us free, show us things, help us, but that we would move into a place that we can truly, it is an honor, it is a privilege, it is a humbling thing that a group like you would come and listen to what we have to say because God called us to. And so I take it very seriously that I am put in this position to help you grow, to help watch over your souls, which means occasionally there's some things I got to warn you about. Because if you're not cautious, you'll get caught up in the culture of Christianity. And there's all kinds of things out there. Ephesians 4 tells us that we won't be moved about with every wind of doctrine. How many of you know there's a lot of different things out there in the Christian world? And just because it's all popular and just because everybody is doing it doesn't mean it's all right. Now, I am not questioning the sincerity, the integrity, or the motivations of the people that in other places at all. Okay, so that's not what this is about. The most important thing that I can do as your pastor is help you grow. It's about you growing to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You're going to have to see it. Turn with me to Ephesians 4, 11. Guys, this, the next 10 minutes may be the most important thing that you can hear. Listen to me. And then I'm going to share with you a vision that a 10-year-old boy in this church had on Wednesday night. Amazing vision that God gave him. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Look at the next verse. It goes on to say in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints. I am here to equip you for the work of the ministry. There's more than just sitting there and just receiving. It's for the work of the ministry, for the building of the body of Christ. These things we'll talk about in the next couple of weeks. Verse 13. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect or mature man, to a perfect man. So this is why we gather together. We cannot do this in isolation. You cannot do this sitting at home and just reading your Bible. Hello? You can't be this by yourself, because you are members of a body. You're not a member in isolation. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's my job, is to help you collectively, us collectively, come to this perfect man, that we measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Remember I said language is over the top. Look at verse 14. That we should no longer be children. We gather here so that we can become mature, so that we can grow up, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Can I tell you, there are people out there that they are out there to deceive you for their own personal enrichment. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. So, where does your growth come from? Okay, growth comes from three things. Listen to me. And then I'm going to give you a warning, and then I'm going to give you a vision, and then I'm going to, then we'll see what the Spirit of God does from there. Growth comes from three things. Growth in the body of Christ. One, from the Word of God. And you need to be taught sound doctrine. Okay? Now, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He will teach you. He will lead you. He will guide you. But you do not have it all by yourself in terms of doctrine and all of that. Otherwise, Jesus himself would not have given gifts to the church. And that's why we saw in Acts chapter 2 that they stayed steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't stay at home. They met from house to house, listening to what the apostles had to say and getting doctrine from them. And it's important. The more that we come together, the more that we are talking and having relationship with each other, the more that doctrine and all of that stays on the Word of God, particularly when we're teaching the Word of God, okay? And so we have to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God like a baby would. How does a baby cry for milk? I mean, that's all a baby does. We have a grandchild, Margot Rose, now. And guess what? All that she does is she just wants to eat. And let me tell you what that has done for her. At 4 weeks, when they took her to the doctor says, so she's about 8 weeks old, right? No, she's 4 weeks. She goes, oh my gosh, she looks like an 8-week-old baby. I mean, she's been eating so much that she's grown so much, you know, that, and so when he says, he's not saying be a baby. He's saying like a baby desires its mother's milk. Come on. To that degree, you need to desire the Word of God. And if you don't desire the Word of God and to be taught the Word of God and to hear the Word of God in that way, then you're going to end up being an anemic and you're going to stop your spiritual growth. A baby cannot exist apart from just eating. And that's the same thing that's true about you spiritually. Okay? Number one, it's desiring the Word of God. Life of Faith Church. You've got to find a church at which you guys are at one, and you know it, that is teaching you the Word of God. How many scriptures have I even mentioned today? How much Word have you already gotten today? This happens every single time. Okay? Number two, you grow when the Word of God is lived out. It's lived out. In other words, it's not enough. Listen to me very carefully. It's not enough to just know the Word of God. It's not enough to just hear the Word of God. If that's all you're trying to do, and you think that's going to be enough for you to experience the blessing of God, then you've missed a vital part of growth. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Let me show this to you. Hebrews chapter 5, and let's look at, I've got my phone in my pocket here. Hebrews chapter 5, and let's look at verse 12. See, there's a destination that you have. By this time, you ought to be teachers. He says, for though by this time you ought. Here's the writer of Hebrews talking to this church and this group of people that by this time you ought to be teachers. This actually talks about each one of you. You move from a place of learning to also to a place of teaching others. And if you do not have a desire, or if you never thought that you could be a teacher, then you miss what God's plan is for you. We are all to make disciples of other people. And so he says, you ought to be teachers. You need, but right now you still need someone to teach you again the very first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. And so now all of a sudden, they're going back and they've been in church for a long time, but they've never really grown and they're still babies. Why? Look at the next verse. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Look at verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of what? Who by reason of what? Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Can I present to you this morning that only as you apply the Word of God, as you use the Word of God, as you do what it says, as it is lived out in your life, that that's the place that you actually grow. Amen. If we sat and ate food, and we never walked, we never did anything, we would still be anemic. We would never experience what God wanted us to experience. We'd never experience life the way we're supposed to. Growth happens from hearing the Word of God, from desiring the Word of God. It happens when it's lived out in community, when it's lived out together, okay? And I'm going to talk about next week how that works a little bit. And then thirdly, in the third way that growth happens is as you serve one another. As you serve others. In other words, growth, because what happens, people come into church and what they do is it becomes very self-focused, self-centered. But actually what God wants to do is once you move into a place of God, you've so blessed me. God, you've so freed me. I'm talking about you're experiencing this. God, you love me. All of those things. That what happens is it takes you now into this place of how can I now help others? How can I now be a part? How can I truly be the body of Christ? Back to Ephesians 1. And let me bring this to a close. Thank you, Father. So we were at verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, verse 20, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at his right hand in heavenly places. Keep going. Look at this now. What's the why church? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. There's no name that is more powerful and that can even come close to the name of Jesus. And he put all things, somebody say all things, all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Woo, man. Look at the next verse. Which is his body, the fullness of him, fills all in all. You are the body of Christ. You are the family of God. You are, Jesus is now expressed into this earth through you, through a group of people, through us together, through our relationship, to fill everything, to fill everything, to fill, to rule in life, to reign in life, to express him. The Bible says you're a chosen generation, a holy priesthood. You're a chosen, God's choice people. But for this purpose, that we've moved from darkness and we now walk in his marvelous light so that we may show forth, demonstrate his praises. What's in you is more real and bigger than what's out there. I encourage you to watch Wednesday night service, because we talked about that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus put his hand on a leprous man that was contagious because he wasn't afraid. What was in him was way more powerful than the sickness and the death that was out there. Paul, he got bit by a poisonous snake. He's just, that thing's hanging off of his hand. He just shook it off. He didn't sit there and freak out and say, in the name of Jesus, it's not going to hurt me. In the name of Jesus. He didn't like go, you know, have you ever noticed sometimes when people pray, they get louder and louder and louder? As if the louder you get, the more powerful the prayer. Why do we do that? Because we're trying to convince ourselves of the truth. Instead of just saying, no, in Jesus' name. Paul didn't even do that. What was in him was more powerful than the poison that tried to go into his body. The life of God in you is way more powerful. And so, as we're doing Wednesday activates and things like that, you know, I love helping people just move into seeing from the Spirit of God, listening to the voice of God. Hey, I just got a text from Jennifer. My shoe's untied. It's probably been that way for the last hour or so. And then Jeff Thomas says, your wife is staring at it. So, you know, somebody just needs to raise their hand or something and just say, I don't mind you doing that. Excuse me, please. This is important to her. That is true. Is it bothering you too? Did y'all, okay, let me start all over. Let's go back an hour. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, look at this. I don't know, where was I going now? What'd you say? Wednesday activate. Oh, yeah. I went to my text messages because I got something I want to read you guys. Yes, that's exactly where I'm going. Thank you, guys. So, we do Wednesday Activate, which actually, starting in April, we're going to do it every Wednesday night to help you hear the voice of God, to help you experience the gifts of God, to help you learn what that means, because it's amazing. So, Wednesday night, I had everybody close their eyes. And man, I mean, Noah and Lindsay Lewis, Lindsay's our children's pastor. Noah helps out here in different ways as well. They brought their kids to be a part of it. Samuel is 10 years old. Okay, 9 or 10. It will be 10. Samuel's vision. He came up to me afterwards. He said, this is what I saw when my eyes were closed. So the word coronavirus showed up in his vision. Then the world showed up. Then we zoomed in and people were in graves, and God stood beside me and he put his hands out and said, stop. And I saw the world again, and we zoomed back in, And he said, live. And people just started to rise back to life again in every country. And I saw the word coronavirus, and it just started to fade away until it was totally gone. And then the word life showed up. Then everyone started to worship the Lord. And then the verse Psalm 91 appeared. Guys, that wouldn't have happened if we weren't together. Family of God. I think what I will do to encourage you so much more, thank you, Jesus. Let's read Psalm 91. Stand with me, please. I'm going to put this on screen and we're going to read this together. We're going to declare this over our lives. You have nothing to fear. I said, you have nothing to fear. We're not going to do ministry this morning. This is ministry right now. You can take this word. We're going to declare the word of God over our lives. We're going to declare what God has said about us. We're going to receive it. We're going to see it. Mean this. This is amazing. Let's read together. Ready? Read. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Stop there. I'm going to take it one verse at a time. Let's see that. See that. He that dwells in the secret place abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's go to verse 2. Ready? Read. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. He's my refuge. Is that what you're saying? Is He your refuge? Or is a potential vaccine your refuge? Where's your refuge? Let's read verse 3. Ready? Read. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. That just deals with all kinds of stuff. That's people trying to lay traps for you, all that kind of stuff. It's talking about the trap of a bird. He'll deliver you from all of that. And it says He'll do it surely. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, ready? Read. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Stop there. What is your shield? His truth. Not what the media is saying, not what's going on around you. His truth. His truth. His word is truth. I said His truth. Is His truth your truth? Ready? Read. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Stop there. I think we would say nor of the bullets. Today, it's a little different today. Anything out there, any evil that's out there, praise God. Ready? Read. Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Sickness is a pestilence. Plagues are a pestilence. All of those things. We'll not be afraid, it says, of any of these things. When we've made the Lord our refuge. Ready? Read. Look at this. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Somebody needs to get the Lord a shout over that one. What does that tell me? That tells me that what happens to anybody that's not part of the kingdom of God, that happens in the kingdom of darkness, it cannot touch me. It cannot come near me. What's in me is pushing it away, propelling it away. I'm telling you, what I have inside of me is way more powerful. Where sin, sickness, and darkness, and death abounds, grace much more abounds. The goodness of God much more abounds. The victory of God, the life of God much more abounds. Verse 8, ready, read. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Stop there. David here is saying, listen, get a hold of this. I've made the Lord my refuge. You need to do the same. There's a responsibility that you have to move into a place that you've made the Lord your personal refuge. I can't do it for you. Nobody else can do it for you. You have to do that. But because you've done that, read verse 10, ready, read. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Now, here's a question. Do you believe this? Or do you believe that some evil will befall you? Let's go back to that verse, verse 10 again. We got to read it again. I just got to make, do you believe that maybe a little evil can befall you? I'm just saying, what do you believe? Do you believe when you go into work tomorrow that you're just going to have a blue Monday? I mean, only you can answer that. Do you believe that you're going to struggle? Do you believe that you might get laid off? Do you believe that if somebody has the flu there, that then you might get it? Well, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, that stuff's contagious. So the question is are you going to believe that? Or do you believe that you have been moved into a different kingdom so that you don't have to experience all of that? This is what this is all about, guys. This isn't about being a Christian and experiencing what everybody else experiences and one day you get to go to heaven. When Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, he means right here, right now, right here where you are, that you can experience that and you can experience freedom from the curse of the law. You can experience freedom from sickness, freedom from all of these things. But if you accept and if you think that just as you grow older, then you got to experience more sickness. As you do this, that you know, because everybody goes to it. You got to stop. Listen to me. We have to stop measuring our life according to what everybody else does. That's not my measuring stick. Okay? You come here, we're going to help you elevate your thinking, elevate your faith level, elevate your believing to what God has said and what His design is for a child of God. You'll be encouraged. Let's read it again. Ready? Read. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Man, get a hold of that. Look at verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Man, do you have a visual of that? The angels surrounding you, guarding you. Verse 12, ready? Read. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against us, lest you trip, lest you. In other words, believe this. They'll be right there to protect you. Right there to protect you. Verse 13. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Again, no fear. No fear. Verse 14. Because he has set his love... Stop. Now we see something here, right? Because you have. You determine where you set your affection and your love. Because he has set his love upon me. Let's read it together. Ready? Read. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name, the name of Jesus. Look at the next one. Next verse. Ready? Read. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Woo!
Amen.
Man, I hope this word is starting to get in you in a way that... And then verse 16. with long life. Well, stop. That actually, that word long there, there should be about 10 O's. 10 O's. So can we do that together? Ready? Read. With long life. Let's do it again. Make sure you got it. With long life. Can you see yourself?
Yes.
Amen.
Now, this is God's promise to you.
That's right.
See, it started off, make the Lord your refuge, but now all of a sudden God got involved in this song, and now He's the one that's talking. Because He says, with what? Long life, I will satisfy Him. Hold on, what does that mean? It doesn't mean long life that sucks. A long life that you're struggling. A long life that you just, you know, on retirement, on Medicare, getting hip replacements, getting knee replacements, struggling through. That's not a life that you are satisfied with. He doesn't want you just to experience long life. He wants you to experience long life that you are satisfied with. So let's read it again. With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. That is your right. That is your heritage. That is what God has given you.
Amen.
Child of God. Child of the Most High God.